Welcome. We're very delighted to see you here today. The name of this session is No Place Like Home, the Impact of Homelessness on Women's Health, and it's being sponsored by the Women's Caucus. You can learn more about the Women's Caucus through Facebook and also on Twitter or by emailing the caucus's leadership. You can find more information online. Now please let me know if you have any questions. So my name is Medina Ashenor, and I'll be moderating our session today. And we will be going in the order that you have in your program. And we will take all questions at the end, so please make sure to jot down your notes so that you can remember what you want to ask our fabulous presenters. All right, so let's get started. Our first presenter is Dr. Temu Daniel, and she serves as Acting PEPFAR Country Director in Zambia and has 25 years of HIV research experience, leading programs at Emory, UNC Chapel Hill, and University of Witwatersrand? Close enough. She's held fellowship positions at Duke University, the University of Georgia, and has consulted at UNAIDS headquarters in Geneva, Switzerland. She holds a bachelor's degree from Hampton University, a master of public health from Emory, and a DRPH from the University of Georgia. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Daniel.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ashenor, for your introduction. Good afternoon to you all. I'd like to start out by saying that, yes, I have my computer up here because I need to go through my slides. If not, we will be here talking about this for 25 minutes and I will not show the respect that I should to my other colleagues. So that's the purpose of this, because I'm a bit of a talker. So. Thank you. Okay. So good afternoon, and again, I'd like to welcome everyone. And I take great honor in opening our discussion to describe housing instability and its effect on sexual risk, substance use, and social support for women. While my colleagues will delve into other aspects of observed gender differences, I will be discussing women housing in HIV, the effects of a housing continuum. Please allow me to acknowledge Drs. Sui Ho and Gina Wingood for their significant contributions to this work. I have no gains to disclose and would like to mention that this research was funded through a collaborative project with the National Institute of Mental Health, Emory University, Columbia University, University of Pennsylvania, and UCLA. Funding sources had no role in the study design, collection, analysis, or interpretation of the data, nor did they have any bearing upon the writing of this report or its submission. So during this presentation, I'll briefly summarize literature, discuss the parent and current study methods, and provide a synopsis of study results for our dialogue. So of course, first of all, we know that housing and health are inextricably linked. Compared to stably housed persons, those who are unstably housed are 4 to 6 times more likely to have unprotected sex, have HIV rates 3 to 16 times higher than those who are housed, participate in concurrent sexual partnerships, have elevated rates of sexually transmitted infections, including hepatitis B and C, and live with worse overall health, including higher viral loads, lower CD4 counts, and a mortality rate 5 times higher than housed persons living with HIV/AIDS. Women are at a particularly vulnerable space in the housing and HIV intersection due to social susceptibilities, including poverty and socioeconomic disadvantage, inability to negotiate safer sex and condom use, transactional sex, gender-based violence and intimate partner violence, substance abuse, and victimization. All of these factors lead women to be unstably housed more often than men and to experience longer and graver bouts of instability, leading to poorer health outcomes and mortality. Theoretically, due to societal factors such as poverty and violence, women are disproportionately at risk for HIV infection and homelessness. In Wingood's adaptation, to Connell's theory of gender and power, women's risk is a function of the sexual division of labor and power and the interplay of community, social, and gender norms. In the risky context model, Idela actually views housing as an intermediary which carries stress and disease inequality that exists in broader economic and political structures to a susceptible host. And both theories exist within Bronfenbrenner's socio-ecological theory that postulates individuals develop and interact within a larger physical and social environment made up of nested systems. All persons are influenced by or make decisions within these systems, and they shape how people interact and behave. We understand that there are structural factors that play a large part in sexual risk. First, macrosocial factors influence housing instability. Housing instability influences sexual risk, and housing conditions, including where, how, and with whom people live, are seen as descriptive points along the housing instability continuum. Because these macrosocial issues cut across many domains, it is difficult to determine and interpret root causes for the outcomes we see and propose viable solutions. Gaps in literature include temporal precedents. People are not left homeless or unstably housed randomly in varying degrees to determine their likelihood to be HIV positive or have poor health outcomes. However, theoretical information and research beg us to posit that there is a housing continuum after controlling for social determinants of health, such as gender, income, and substance abuse. Therefore, this study aimed to further define the relationship of housing and HIV risk by suggesting a housing continuum, grouping participants from a randomized trial, and describing sex risk outcomes and gender differences, if any. The proposed housing continuum for HIV sexual risk factors from least to most risk is stably housed, living with family, living with partner, and living in a group or other housing arrangement. The parent study, Project Eben, was a phase 3 randomized controlled trial that was meant to test the efficacy of a culturally appropriate risk reduction intervention for African American serodiscordant heterosexual couples. Data was collected from 2003 to 2007 from 1,070 persons across 4 U.S. cities, Atlanta, New York, Philadelphia, and Los Angeles. Participants were recruited from HIV clinics, referrals, and commercial advertisements. And in addition to face-to-face and individual assessments, participants provided biological samples for HIV and STI testing. Study methods and results are summarized in the Archives of Internal Medicine, September 2010. The parent study included baseline measures and immediate post-intervention assessment after 8 weekly sessions and 6 and 12-month post-intervention assessments. However, this study analyzed information from the baseline assessment utilizing HIV and STI biological measures and self-report data from the audio computer-assisted self-interview. The session lasted approximately an hour, and participants confidentially recorded sociodemographic and sexual history information. To describe our housing variable, participants were classified into 4 groups using 3 ACASI questions. Specifically, where do you live now? Does anyone else live with you? And if so, who lives with you? Our outcome variables, sexual risk, were defined by biologically confirmed HIV and STI data and ACASI questions that asked a number of questions related to unprotected sex acts and concurrent partnerships in the previous 90 days. Participants were categorized in 1 of 4 housing groups, as previously mentioned, so stably housed if they answered affirmatively to living in my own home or my own apartment within the ACASI interview, living with family members, living with sexual partners, or living transitionally in sheltered or unsheltered situations with other persons who are not related. The analysis plan for the outcome variables included HIV status, STI status, unprotected sex acts, partner concurrency, and for SDH covariates that were included, we looked at gender, age, education, income, employment, insurance, and if a person was married. Also, HIV and sexual risk covariates included previous or recent incarcerations, recent inpatient drug treatment, alcohol dependence, illegal drug dependence, time involved with study partner, and for those who are HIV positive, the years that they knew that they were positive. So to start, I meant to mention that for these results, I'm going to actually break them up into three tranches. So you will have first where I describe the groups as they relate to gender. Secondly, where we will talk about housing and how the groups, what may be statistically significant. And then lastly, where we will discuss the model and information that we learned from the model. So first, out of 1,063 participants, 57% were stably housed and 43% were unstably housed. Of those who were stably housed, 346, nearly 60% of those were women. Secondly, 323 women, 60%, and 212 men, 40%, were HIV positive. And among those positive for one or more STIs, and we tested for chlamydia, gonorrhea, and trichomoniasis, 81% were women and 19% were men. So for those three that I just mentioned, housing, stably versus unstably housed, HIV, and STIs, chi-squared test revealed statistically significant gender differences between expected and observed results. Regarding partner concurrency, there was no statistically significant difference between gender groups for men and women. And I'm sorry, there was also not a statistically significant difference for men or women who had unprotected sex. I apologize, that was not included in that slide. So when we dichotomize the housing variable into stably versus unstably housed groups, there was a significant difference between the expected and observed result for HIV and STI status. However, there was not a statistically significant difference in chi-squared evaluations regarding partner concurrency or t-tests for housing groups and unprotected sex. Next, when we separated the housing groups according to the continuum hypothesis, there was a statistically significant difference in housing group and gender again. And again, there was a significant difference between the expected and observed result between housing groups for HIV and near significance for STI status. The p was 0.061. However, there is not a statistically significant difference in chi-squared evaluations regarding partner concurrency nor the ANOVA for housing groups and unprotected sex. Reviewing housing in its continuum, with stably housed persons as the referent group and logistic regression modeling, persons living with family members are 48% less likely to be HIV positive, persons living with a partner are 78% less likely, and persons living in a group or unsheltered arrangement were 44% less likely to be living with HIV. After controlling for covariates again, persons living with family members are 2.5 times more likely to have unprotected sex. Persons living in group or unsheltered accommodations were 2.3 times more likely to have unprotected sex. And persons living with a partner were 71% less likely to have unprotected sex. Again, that is all compared to the stably housed group. That is a lot of numbers there, but what's important to note is that persons who are unemployed were 2.74 times more likely to be HIV positive. Persons who were drug dependent or had drug treatment history or incarceration history were nearly twice as likely to be HIV positive. Unmarried persons were 4 times more likely to be in, and those who were drug dependent were 2 times more likely to be in concurrent relationships. And those who have drug dependency and incarceration history were nearly twice as likely to have unprotected sex. For our discussion, women were twice as likely to be HIV positive, 8 times more likely to be STI positive, and after controlling for interaction effects, women living with partners were 3.6 times more likely to have unprotected sex than men who were living with partner. And women were 64% less likely when they were living in other group arrangements to have unprotected sex than men. Across all 4 sexual risk outcomes, while it is clear that there is a housing continuum, the hypothesized continuum for each outcome was not directly supported by this data. After controlling for covariates, there are a number of results that seem contrary to or confirm previous literature. So So first, for unstably housed persons in all three at-risk groups, it seems contrary to literature that they were less likely to be HIV positive. More specifically, those who were living with family members, living with a partner, or living in group or unsheltered arrangements were all less likely to be HIV positive than those who were stably housed. So that seems very contrary to expectations. Those who were positive for STIs, who lived with their partner or in group accommodations, were at least two times more likely to be STI positive. So that is in line with expectations that we expected to see. And those who were living with family members are 2.5 times more likely to have unprotected sex. And those who are living in group or unsheltered accommodations were 2.3 times more likely to have unprotected sex. It seems contrary, though, to our expectations that persons who were living with a partner were 71% less likely to have unprotected sex. However, given the results that I just mentioned about women being twice as likely to be positive and 8 times more likely to be STI positive, women were more at risk amongst the housing groups. So I wanted to try to unpack these gender differences a bit for us. And first, it's important to mention that there was a significant difference between gender and unemployment as far as men and women were concerned. However, there was no significant difference between men and women for income, education, or insurance. Women, as I mentioned before, were twice as likely to be HIV positive than men. However, after controlling for other SDH and HIV risk covariates, models show that women in other living were more likely to be HIV positive than men in other living. And lastly, as I mentioned before, women were 8 times more likely to be STI positive than men. Across housing groups, for unprotected sex, women were more likely to have higher unprotected sex risk than men, though the model showed women who live with partner are nearly 4 times as likely as men than men who live with partner to have unprotected sex. It's interesting to note that women in other living, like the group or unsheltered arrangement, were less likely to have unprotected sex than men who were in a similar arrangement. And lastly, women in other living were twice as likely to be in concurrent sexual relationships than men. In summary, clearly in this sample, there were more HIV positive women than men. There were more stably housed women than men. And as I mentioned before, though a housing continuum was supported, or there was evidence that there is a ordinal relationship as far as quality and where people live, though that was supported, we still need more evidence. Limitations of this research clearly would be that participants were recruited from clinics. They may not have been the most at risk in when you think of populations and what data that they would provide. Also, clearly we had self-report data, although the HIV and STI information was biologically confirmed. And we also received reviewed cross-sectional data. And I do think that it would be important in this sample to look at the 6 and 12 month assessments in order to assess if there's a change in housing situations, multiple concurrent partnerships, or unprotected sex over time. Lastly, all 4 of the sites clearly were in urban settings, so it may not be generalizable to those who are in rural settings. In conclusion, women are more at risk for HIV sexual risk behaviors, especially when unstably housed. And when looking across the housing continuum, the results show that gender may be the most important SDH to consider. What does this mean for us for future studies and the implications of where we should go as far as policy work is concerned? Clearly, we need to identify what helps women as far as them being protected against HIV risk, especially as we look at housing interventions and the work that we do with housing interventions. Pardon me. Lastly, it's important to review other housing factors, and again, I mentioned earlier, quality, like quality of life, quality of living. We tried with this work to also look a bit at who persons lived with in order to determine if there were some protective factors that we'd find based on if you were living with a parent, a sibling, you know, had dependents, if those things were protective or non-protective for you. However, we did not describe those results here. And lastly, clearly we need to review all of these results within a more global context, understanding that women globally are disproportionately at risk for HIV. Thank you.